coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Tuesday, April 30, 2024. I'm going to kick the show right off talking about the economic news, because I got so many emails over the last couple of days asking me specifically about Republic Bank in Pennsylvania, because I live in Pennsylvania, obviously. Did you know there was a bank failure? The bank got bailed out. Pennsylvania-based Republic First. Not to be confused with First Republic. Anyway, that they were shut down by regulators last Friday. So last couple of days, I was like, what's going on? And, you know, it won't be the last. So do you have like a lot of money in the bank? I'm just asking. I don't know. How could you, right? We've got, they say the inflation's like, 2-3%, whatever it might be, or less than 2%, supposedly, or whatever the feel-good number is, right? Multiply that by about 3. If you live through Jimmy Carter stagflation back in the 70s, this is going to be a cakewalk. So there's two things. The guy I know is Bob Kudla. He's the man. He's the founder and president of Trade Genius Academy, because I want to learn to trade the markets. I want you to learn, I guess is a better way to say it, to trade the markets the same way I learned. And that's through Trade Genius Academy. Why? Because we have to level the playing field, right? Okay, now you might think, well, geez, I don't want to do that. Oh, you would be surprised. TradeGeniusAcademy.com. The link is going to be in the program description box all across all of our platforms. The first link you see will be TradeGeniusAcademy.com. That's how much I believe in this. Because I'll tell you what, you folks, just go there and you'll see what I'm talking about. But Bob was an executive for 2 Fortune 500 companies in the financial services industry for 25 years. He focused on business development, mergers, and acquisitions. He's been trading since 1991. That's before some of you were born, I know. No, not me, but. And in 2008, Bob started his first trading service with his private group of friends. He became so popular, he decided to take it public. Bada bing, bada bang, here we are. He turned it into a business, and of course, that business is Trade Genius. That started in 2015. His strength is that he's able to see around the corners and position his trades into the right market sectors. And, no financial advice. All I can say is I'm glad I know this man. I'm glad I know Trade Genius Academy. So with that, to talk about what's going on in the world of this fine economy, Bob Kudla. Bet you can't do that. Go ahead. Bob, how are you?
No, I can't do that either. How do you do that?
Just, Letterman used to do that, I think. How are you, man? But since you were on last, gold hit new highs. We've got oppressive inflation. I can't even afford groceries. I fill up my tank, and I almost had a stroke when I saw the total. In my area, gas is going up. So this is all since you and I talked last. So what the heck's going on, and what can we do about it?
Yeah, so I think it's official now that looks like the analog that's going to be the one in play is going to be the stagflation analog, right? So we had this past month, since you and I talked last, we had GDP is slowing, inflation rate is reaccelerating, and the consumer is becoming more and more discouraged. And I'm going to add a fourth piece to this, because this is different than the 70s in the sense that you and I were kids in the 70s, and we were basically part of the last of that baby boom generation that was basically, pushing GDP higher into the 80s and 90s, right? So now or on the other end where you have basically the boomers are rolling off the job market and some are just rolling off the earth, right? So you don't have the same push that you had in terms of being able to create demand for goods and services, because obviously people who retire, they spend disproportionately less of their income on goods and services. And in fact, their incomes go down by 30 to 40% as well, because they're not earning anymore. So that's a big problem for us, because once we enter into this environment, it's going to be more secular than cyclical. And I don't think you're going to be able to solve it by simply continuing to raise interest rates, because most of the people that aren't working aren't really in debt. And the people that are in debt are just going to bankrupt out. And we're seeing that in the credit card data. We're seeing it in the auto loan data. And eventually, we probably won't see it in the mortgage data, because none of these people were able to even get a mortgage this time around after the great financial crisis. So this is going to be different. And I think it's going to morph into, the infamous Great Reset. I just don't know what form that's going to take. But we're really on an unsustainable path mathematically for this to continue for, too much longer. I'm talking, a couple years max before it becomes intolerable. We have basically $1.7 trillion now that we're spending on interest expense. It's overwhelming everything in the system. And Janet Yellen and the Biden administration are Thelma and Louising us right off the cliff.
I like that characterization, because that's kind of how I feel. And I think the majority of our audience, wherever you're at in terms of age and in terms of income, I think everyone is feeling this impact of, first of all, personal expenses just going through the roof, food, clothing. My goodness, I went out, I had to buy a casual shirt because I couldn't believe the price. I'm looking around, I'm thinking, no, I just want to. Anyway, you get the idea. Folks, we're all in this. And here's what I want to do. And I want to mention this, Bob, if you don't mind, Trade Genius Academy. I want you folks to learn how to trade the markets the same way I did, and hook up with Trade Genius Academy. They've got special bundles there. And I'm telling you, it's something that you can, to me, this is like a weapon, okay? You can be on the same, on par with the people who are making money. I mean, it's just that simple. So I didn't do that justice in that paragraph, but I'm telling you what, it makes me feel like, hey, you know what? At least I'm doing something, and my money's not sitting in my mattress losing value, or in a bank losing value.
If your money's in the bank right now, if it's not in the treasury, you're getting wiped out. And since you plugged me out, to say we're more than just an academy. So we actually put trades out for people every day. We teach you how to use our system, which is really, really straightforward. And, there's no gurus here. It's just applied mathematics, and the system works. Our track record's on our main page, and, we don't trade anything exotic. So these are companies that you would recognize, and we'll keep you ahead of the inflation monster. And there was a really interesting study done. They said people would prefer to be in a recession than be in an inflationary environment, because recession only affects a small group of Americans, where inflation affects everybody. And so as a politician, they got to be very, very worried right now, because everybody's feeling the inflation, even the wealthy are. So, right now, unless you make over $250,000 a year, I would say even $300,000 a year if you're in California, is that you're slipping behind. And the reason being is that you're at the max tax rate. So I always say, $300,000 a year, these people are rich. Well, $150,000 of it goes back to the government. So you're really at $150,000. And you, most people say, hey, that's nothing to sneeze at. But, you know, if you're living in an environment where your home costs $1 million, your property tax is 15 to 20 grand, right? You're paying the highest gasoline in the world. You know, your kids are in school or in sports. You know, you're not saving anything. And it's really becoming insidious. And what's going to happen here, Doug, is that you have what I call the inflationary depression transition, is that you go from people trying to keep up with this monkey to just shutting down, and they just don't buy anymore. And then you'll just see economic activity just fall off the cliff. So we're careening towards that. And I know your listeners don't want to. They probably hear all this stuff already, so I'm going to tell you kind of what you can do about it. So in this environment that we're currently in right now is that you have to outpace inflation. So we've been calling, as you know, energy has been an environment where as interest rates drift up, energy also drifts up. It's a great inflation hedge. We talked about gold and silver, platinum, palladium. They all are lifting up right now, and those have been really good plays as well. And so that's where you stay in that environment until the GDP goes negative or you have Powell dropping interest rates. Then you dump as many equities as you possibly can, and you roll into TLT, which is a 20-year government bond fund. And in an environment where we will really roll over hard economically, that'll probably go up 30 to 40% while your stock portfolio is dropping by 30 to 40%. So there's going to be very binary when we get in that environment where you're going to go from an inflation environment, you know, where prices keep rising and you can sync up energy as your best play, to the economy's rolling over hard. Energy will be affected by that. The government's going to have to lower interest rates, and you're going to be able to get into the long bond fund. And the thing that people don't realize with here and within the United States is that most of the people that are employed in the United States are employed in what I call non-essential services businesses. Those are the type of spending that you don't have to make that doesn't create a product. You know, and what am I referring to there? I'm like talking about going out to eat. I'm talking about taking a trip. I'm talking about, you know, kids' camps. I'm talking about personal care, things of that nature that people will start opting out of as hard as they can, even though prices of the things you have to have are going to go up. You know, insurance is going to continue to rise, and you're going to have price of energy is going to probably continue to rise because we're not producing enough of it. And the Biden administration is not sympathetic to increasing supply. So you're going to have this bifurcation. But in the United States, it's going to cause massive unemployment to occur. And I'll give you another statistic here. This will blow you away. We did, and people are interested too. We have a podcast, Trade Genius podcast, that we do every day. Oh, 10, 15 yes. minutes. So it's really interesting, and we pump data out for you guys. So it's really a topic of the day kind of thing. But this will blow you away, Doug. You know, the official, what I would call the underemployment rate in the United States, is sitting at 24%, and the inflation rate is sitting anywhere between 6 and 9% right now. So you know when I mean by 24%, these are people that want to have a full time job that can't get one. People who quit their work, right? People who had to early retire out, and people on disability. So one quarter of the United States workforce is not working. And this is at an official unemployment rate of 3.8%. Can you imagine when this thing kicks up to 6 or 7% officially, you're going to be looking at maybe one third of the United States is not working. Mm-hmm. And it's going to destroy tax revenues. It's going to destroy GDP. And then the governments are going to turn around and try to raise taxes to capture what they're losing. And you're going to be getting hit with higher property taxes, higher sales taxes, higher fees. And now the government is also now trying to recommend an increase of the capital gains tax and the Department of Labor came out today and by 25% increased the minimum wage you have to pay an exempt employee. So they're going to drive even more people into AI or to offshore. I mean, this is the perfect storm. I mean, the Three Stooges couldn't write a better a tragic comedy skit than these guys are producing right now.
Given our debt and all of the issues you stated, by the way, Eric the Tech and I were talking. He mentioned that we just got to notice our energy costs are going to be going up 9.8%. That's Penelec. I don't know when that's effective, perhaps immediately. But I guess my question to you is where we're at right now, can this be turned around at all? I mean, the larger economic ship of the U.S. And the global economy, I suppose.
Now, here's the problem. So debt is a geometric process, right? So, you know, basically it increases at a geometric rate where most other things are increasing at an arithmetic rate. And so the separation has become too steep. And the only way that you're going to get out of it is by the debt has to be extinguished. Okay. So how that happens and who has to take the haircut will determine how severe the economic contraction is going to be. Because you have to remember, the money supply in the United States is part cash and part debt. And you're starting to see some of it happening because the dollar keeps getting stronger. It's counterintuitive. I'm sure all your listeners say the dollar is going to collapse. But I'm here to tell you the dollar will go the other way first. Because when debt gets extinguished, the dollars that are still out there become more valuable. And that causes a whole other set of problems. First of all, the rest of the world's going to feel, and they're feeling it now, the yen is absolutely collapsing. And then it rolls back to the United States. So if you think about it, the deficit, the debt in the United States is now greater than the GDP of the United States. So if you extinguish the debt, you know, you're probably bringing standard of living down by at least 50%. Okay? It's in dribs and drabs right now. And, you know, you have to understand who owns the debt. They're the ones that are going to take the biggest haircut here. You know, in this environment, you know, if you're already poor, you want deflation, right?
Yes.
If you're already rich, you want inflation. And so that's why they're trying to pump inflation so they can make the rich can maintain their standard of living and their ability to control. But if the debt gets wiped out, which it will at some point, it has no choice. If you can't pay it, it's a zombie debt, right? It gets wiped out. It's really all that money's in the wealthy people. You know, they have their money in commercial real estate. They have their money in government bonds, right? City bonds, state bonds, you know, utility bonds. You know, the poor people, middle class people don't have their money in that stuff. It's just the wealthy. And they're going to take massive haircuts. And so you'll see values of properties collapsing. I hate to use the word the Great Reset because it intones that the government's in control of the reset. The government's really going to be reacting to this reset. It's more like the fourth turning, if you've kind of read that book.
Oh, yeah.
It just has to reset. It has no choice. So they're going to try a bunch of different things. First thing you're going to see, and you're seeing it now, is you'll see trade collapsing across the world because people aren't going to trust each other's currencies, you know, to trade with. Okay, so that'll bring up, you see them trying to increase wages, right? I just talked about the exempt thing. You just talked about the $20 minimum wage in California, yep. Yada, yada, yada. And when those things prove to be failures, they're gonna force interest rates back down to zero, right? Back to the zero bound area. And then when that doesn't work, they're gonna maybe reprice gold or do some things like that. And try to use that to pay down the debt. So all those things, you're just going to see one shenanigan after the other to try to make this thing happen. But the one thing they can't do, politicians won't do, is they won't try to lower the deficit because that'll immediately make them unelectable because it'll drive us right into a depression. The problem we're going to get is we're going to get the depression anyway after all the pain, right? It's like you living with a toothache for 20 years, right? and they still got to pull it into a root canal versus just getting the root canal done when it's right there and you get past the pain. And we have an analog for that. 1920, 1921, we went into a depression. You never heard of that. It was a one-year depression. It reset the debt. Everybody that wiped out that was over-leveraged. And then we had, 9 years of economic boom from that. And then we went into that sell-off. They didn't try to use this. They didn't use the same method they did in 2021. They tried to fix it. And we ended up with a 10-year depression to World War II. And so I think these politicians today are going to try to maintain power as long as they possibly can. It's just going to become really, really, really tough for a lot of people. And I prefer to be on the other side of the toughness. I rather be ahead of the game. And this is no mystery where you have to be to save yourself, right? So you're going to have to outpace inflation, and then you literally have to get out of the way when the deflation monkey hits, and you're going to have to get into bonds. Okay. And then you're going to be relatively better than most.
And that's where we want to be. Look, I just want to be able to, frankly, be a good steward with my money. Biblically a good steward. And, I don't want to lose money. I don't want to take it to a casino or have anyone believe that this is like a casino environment, because no, it's anything but that. This is a thoughtful analysis and practical approach to trading. And again, TradeGeniusAcademy.com. And everything you mentioned there, I know is on people's minds, in one form or another. So I am, how can I put this? I am concerned about what I do, and I'm concerned about helping others do the same thing, keeping ahead for as long as possible and making bank for as long as possible. Because without that, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to buy a Blockbuster franchise? I mean, you know, obviously not. But all right, any closing thoughts? The floor is yours here for the next couple of minutes, or whatever you want to say, whatever's on your mind.
I look, I'm the kind of person I like to make things happen versus let things happen to me. And I think people can't put their heads, in the ground. There are tremendous opportunities right now, in the stock market, and there's always a bull market somewhere. And that gives you an opportunity to stay ahead. And so, if you're interested in what we do, just come check us out, tradelikeagenius.com. We don't charge much for our services, and we really provide you with a lot of value. And we live this stuff, and you can see things coming down the pike 2-3 months ahead. And so you're going to have opportunities to get out of this before this thing implodes. And you're going to have to become a Berean. You can look that up in the Bible, meaning do your own homework, do your own due diligence. Don't trust me. Don't trust the financial advisors. Test everything that you hear and see. Because you're going to get a lot of gaslighting in this environment. But just follow the math, and the stock market always knows. Big money can't move without you seeing it. So it's in your best interest to understand those flows, and we have those in our algorithm. So I think you'll like what we do, and it's going to be a wild ride, and it can be very, very profitable if you understand what's taking place. And I think it's obvious at this point. They can't hide what they're doing anymore. And it looks like it's stagflation. It's going to provide a huge bump in asset prices, and then the whole thing will collapse.
Folks, stay ahead of it. Bob Kudla, a lot of great information in a short amount of time. I really appreciate you. You really giving us your honest assessment about how things are, and then providing a solution. Folks, talk with Bob or hook up with Trade Genius Academy. Go to the link right down right there in the program description box. And again, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your expertise, and I appreciate your service. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Doug.
All right. Thanks for being here. Folks, that was Bob Kudla from Trade Genius Academy. You know, people think, and this is something that, and I'll move on here, but this is something that I think people think that they cannot do. Yeah, I don't have enough money. I don't want to take the risk. I don't have the intelligence. Well, I got to say this, and I never thought I would say this in my lifetime, but keeping money in the bank is a risk. My goodness. I mean, look what happened again to the bank in Pennsylvania. The feds, the regulators shut it down. And this is going to be happening more and more. Did you know that? Did you hear about that? Did you know a bank was shut down? Man, I'll tell you what. All right. So, you know, here I was talking to a good friend, is a Patriot doctor earlier today. And he was saying, you know, with everything we're seeing across the U.S. with respect to these campus riots, the campus takeovers, these university takeovers, he said, could the CIA or some intelligence agency be behind it? And if so, you know, is there a way to tell or is there a way? And I got to thinking about this, and I did contact Randy Taylor, who's really good at infiltrating certain boards and sites and things where people congregate. I'm going to say this. These are not organic. You know that. These protests are not organic. And they're not. And I've listened to this frequently. Look, I love Gerald Celeni, but he said these are protests that they're not pro Hamas. I don't recall exactly what his words were, but the suggestion was these are not pro Hamas, okay, or anti-Semitic, okay. I disagree with him on that because what I've been seeing take place. Whether it's Colombia, which is going to explode, let me tell you, or elsewhere, is this deliberate antagonism against certain, against the Jews for sure, deliberate antagonism against the Jews. Okay, but it's not necessarily by everyone in the crowd. There is this core group of Marxists, but it's so much bigger than that. What we are witnessing is the takedown of the Western civilization, essentially. This is culture rot from decades upon decades upon decades of Marxist indoctrination. Quite frankly, I could care less if Colombia burnt to the ground. I don't care. I don't care. Half these schools need to go anyway, or at least be changed in their what they teach and how they hire some of these Marxist communist professors. You know, the ones wearing the Crocs and the driving the Subaru and the, oh, I know I'm going to get emails about that, comments about that, never mind. But, you know, with purple hair but a lot of this is designed, I believe, and organized just from what I've been able to push into. It's organized by, for example, Open Society Institute, George Soros' organization. And you can't blame everything on Soros, okay? You just can't. But there are other entities along with that organization that are pushing a Marxist ideology. Please understand this. A communist, it's actually worse than Marxism. It's actually communism. Jack Posobiec right now, I think he's in Spain. He was talking about this and he was, folks, draw your attention to the screen. And Now, some of the signs obviously are handmade and such. Okay, you can see that. Others, not so much. Others even have websites of NGOs on the bottom. But what you see on the screen, the pallets that are being used, where did those come from? Some had bricks on them in earlier pictures. I don't know where the bricks went. I really don't. And yes, those were images from current day. But let me ask this as well. You saw the Summer of Love back in 2020, right? And I use that, of course. You saw the rage and the hatred with respect to what's with respect to BLM and Antifa in 2020, summer 2020. Yet there was no police intervention there. They were burning businesses and cars and police stations and courthouses. So I see this, and what you saw on your screen, what do we see? We see police intervention. Why? Eric the Tech, if I can bother you, I know you've had a rough last night and rough day. If I can bother you, and I don't know the answer to this question. We're seeing police intervention on some college campuses. We're seeing students get suspended for, you know, their role in their encampments. We're seeing some aspect of punishment here that we didn't see back in 2020 against BLM and Antifa. What's the difference between then and now? I'm asking, do you have anything? And if you don't, that's okay, because I don't either at the moment.
It baffles me that there is a police presence.
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't make sense.
Okay. Yeah, that, and so why? And thank you, because that's exactly what
I'm
I was
saying. Thinking. It's a bad thing.
No. And look, I'm 100% for freedom of speech. You can't be anti-protest and be for freedom of speech. Now, by protest, I'm not saying stand in the middle of the road, stop traffic, or glue your hand at the cement or whatever. You know, no, that's no. Freedom of speech, that's not freedom of speech. Or blocking, you know, emergency vehicles when you've got a critical patient, that's not freedom of speech. So I'm not against freedom of speech, but what I am against is what happened in 2020, and to the extent that there is a hatred of Jewish students, and I've seen the videos blocking Jewish students from entering the campus, calling them, believe me, some pretty nasty names. I've seen the videos. That's not cool. I mean, I'm not for that. But we're seeing some intervention here, and I want to know why.
Is it maybe setting a template? Saying, hey, we did it here, so we're going to do it there against you.
You mean with the police?
Yes.
I thought of that as well. If folks, did you understand what Eric said? I mean, I, you know, it's, for example, when the conservative Christians stand up and speak out. Well, we did it to the left, the pro-Hamas agitators. We're going to do it to you. Sort of a, I don't know, like a psych, if you will. The reason I'm mentioning this is, look.
Or to legitimize the January 6th office.
Yes. And isn't that Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's strange.
But strange indeed. But again, we are what we're witnessing today is far different than 4 years ago. And certainly far different than 1968. Well, we haven't even seen the worst of it yet. I'll tell you what. You think 2020 was bad? I guarantee you this summer is going to be a hell of a lot worse. Just an incredibly, it's going to get a lot worse. You know, in case you didn't hear about this, there were four police officers who were murdered, four injured in a shootout while serving a warrant. This happened in Mecklenburg, I believe, Charlotte, Mecklenburg. Where was that? Correct, Charlotte, North Carolina. And they were serving a warrant. Things like this are going to be happening more frequently. I don't have all of the details. I'm not going to talk into the or about the case except to just take note of that. There it is right there. Four police officers murdered, four injured in shootout while serving warrant. Look, I don't know. I don't know what this was all about. But there is a war on police officers. And should there be? Look. You can't have it both ways. You can't say defund the police and then go after them for not doing their jobs. You can't say I'm going to stand here, protest, it's my right, and block traffic, and then moan when the police come and move you. Okay, you can't have it both ways. But what we're seeing here in the larger sense, and the reason I brought this up, is you're going to be seeing more and more of this. I
would tell people to watch Charlie Kirk's stuff that he does on campuses, because
yes, campus
students
reform.
Bring this stuff up. Like, I don't want police force, like defund, yep. and he lays it down for them. So you can learn a lot from him.
Charlie Kirk, Real America's Voice. He's on Monday through Friday. He is a great guy, great young man, great show. And has a lot of clips like that, and a lot of talks to a lot of people, does a lot of research. And when he goes out to speak, you know, at the different events.
Yeah, if you don't follow him, if you use social media, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He's got some of the great stuff out there, Charlie Kirk does. Okay. So a few more things. What Bob Kudla said, and the reason I had him come on up front, is because we are in a world of hurt economically. And you don't have to agree with everything he said, but everything he said is pretty much factual. His only speculation was that they're not going to, you know, tank the dollar. Maybe not right away, but I think it's bound to tank. It's really when our interest per year exceeds the budget of the Pentagon and will in a year, I think a year and a half, exceed the budget of Medicare and Medicaid combined, just the interest on our debt, we have a problem, a huge problem. So I wanted to bring him up front, and I wanted him to go over the numbers. And think about that as well. You've got a lumbering economy, but also a lumbering workforce, where he said really a quarter, almost a quarter, and soon to be a third of our workforce is not working. And by the way, I could attest to that. Try to, and those who are working, I'll say this, those who are working are usually working in two different jobs. They'll have two jobs just to make ends meet, because, you know, the jobs numbers, when old Jackson Brown. No. I'm sorry. When the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, the first black lesbian press secretary in the history of the United States, who says, I don't have anything on that, like 1,000 times. I don't have anything more on that. I don't have anything on that. That's a go-to. No, after circle back Psaki. Where's it going with that? I was talking about the unemployment. I think unemployment and, things are getting a lot worse. I guess I'm going to end that right there. But when you're looking at what Bob said about morphing into the Great Reset, and about the fourth turning, I'm becoming more and more convinced, yeah, this is the fourth turning. And if you haven't read the book, The Fourth Turning, it's very interesting. And we're seeing a lot of these dying regime, dying republic signs. Are we not? All right. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's a... It's a sad thought, I think. One thing I wanted to touch on, again, this is something totally different. Randy Taylor and I, we were talking yesterday about the fact that they cannot allow President Trump to get back in office. They can't allow him to do that. They just can't. They have to maintain and retain leadership. Now, I know people like Gerald Celeni, political atheist. I get that. I get it. I understand. He said, I don't like any of them. And I respect him for that. I got my problems with President Trump. I admit that. A few. But on balance, between the two, or I'll even be charitable, between the three and throw RFK in there, which, by the way, he still has no Secret Service protection. That's a Biden thing. Who would you rather have? Who would you vote for? I'm just asking. Another 4 years of Joe? Or actually, Joe won't last 4 years, and they're going to run out of formaldehyde. I guess the leftist ideology, or perhaps a chance to bring this country back. Which brings me to the next issue. I was looking at this, and I was looking at how hard they are trying to take this man down. And he's got very few friends, really very, there's only really one judge, and that's Eileen Cannon, who's anywhere near fair with Donald Trump. I do suspect, well, you've got Judge Juan Merchan, who has imposed yet another gag order. I think there was 9 fines for contempt for his posts on Truth Social. For merely pointing out the conflicts between Judge Juan Merchan and his daughter. So his First Amendment rights are being taken away. Because you can have Michael Colangelo on the left, who actually, imagine this, you're number three at the Department of Justice, right? You're the number three guy at the DOJ, Michael Colangelo. And you get promoted to basically an assistant DA's position in New York. What the hell's that about? I'm asking. I'll tell you what it's about. It's about his expertise as an asset of the Biden regime to go against President Donald Trump or the front-running candidate for the presidency. This is all about a power grab. Everything that Bob talked about initially in the front end of the show, the economic woes that we're going through, that's about greed and power. I'm telling you right now, that's what it's about. You heard about the EVs, electric vehicles, Ford losing $132,000 per vehicle. I don't know if you've heard about that. Okay. But yet, you know, hey, you're going to be driving an electric vehicle because, my goodness, we're in a climate emergency. And you heard last week, I think we played a video about, or maybe it was on Monday, I don't know when it was, but we played a video about the powers that the resident at the moment would have in a climate, if a climate emergency was declared. 130 warlike powers. Think COVID, but think on steroids. That's what would happen. So they know that they have to keep Donald Trump out at all costs. And I know you're tired of hearing me say that. But again, this is bigger than President Trump. This is bigger than the man. You could hate his guts. But what is happening to our republic is really unthinkable. I want to move from the New York case to the documents case. If you haven't seen the conservative treehouse yet, and I'll put the link in the program description box, or at least the Steve Bannon interview with Julie Kelly, talking about what is taking place with the documents case. Out of all the cases, out of all the cases, this particular case shows you what's going on behind the scenes. And you may say, well, what does it matter? The judge, Eileen Cannon, in this case, is showing obviously President Trump, but showing all of us the unredacted documents involving the tactics being used in this case. So what we're seeing in this case, and this is why I'm bringing this up, this is the playbook of the left. Please stick with me on this. As a matter of fact, look, this is so important. What Julie Kelly has done, and she is one of the best investigative journalists out there, I'm telling you. What she has done is isolated. She's been releasing and unredacting documents and motions that were filed in this case for the sake of transparency, but to show you who really is running things. And by the way, the Department of Justice, are they ever hacked off at her? But I'll tell you what. Let's play this segment of Julie Kelly with Steve Bannon. And please, I ask you, please pay close attention to what she points out. Because, again, in the larger sense, this exposes the left. This exposes the Marxist communist. This is what they do in communist countries, in North Korea, in the old Soviet Union, the Soviet show trials. This is the tactics. You're going to be exposed to the tactics of the left, of the communists, thanks to Julie Kelly. It should be queued up to the proper position on that page if you want to hit play. Let's see here. 17, go to 1731. Or no, I'm sorry. 1731 in the program. So it's a standalone video on them. I'm sorry. I had the wrong note there. Wrong video, that's the correct video. Wrong note. So go ahead and just hit play.
We saw yesterday, and maybe we can play again later, maybe in the C block, the Maria Bartiromo blowing up Jim Jordan. We know people are frustrated. None of these investigations go anywhere. There's no investigation at all on a real basis on this criminal conspiracy. You, as an independent investigator, have done more work than all Capitol Hill combined on the situation in Florida and J6 and all of it. But walk me through the revelations you've got, these major revelations you've got coming out of the classified documents, because what you've been sending me is absolutely shocking.
So it just speaks to and demonstrates and proves, and these are unredacted motions, these are unsealed exhibits authorized by Judge Aileen Cannon in Southern Florida. She sees how dirty this case is, how it has been dirty from the beginning, and she is doing her part, as she says, to favor the side of transparency. She strongly believes that the American people deserve to see exactly what went down in this investigation, the indictment, and what's happened since. So what has been revealed in these mind-blowing court motions and exhibits is proof of, once again, Steve, close collaboration between the White House, between the Department of Justice, between longtime partisan bureaucrats like the National Archivist David Ferriero, who, by the way, called January 6th the worst day of his life. David Ferriero must have a pretty good life if January 6th was the worst day of his life. And most particularly, NARA's General Counsel Gary Stern, and how they were working with Biden White House first, the deputy counsel, Jonathan Sue, informally advising or seeking information and guidance from the Department of Justice to concoct and manufacture what initially looked like, Steve, a records destruction case, is what it looked like David Ferriero and others were piecing together, claiming that these records were missing, that boxes were missing, unidentified boxes. They couldn't really say what they were. And that David Ferriero was going to go to DOJ, he was going to go to the Hill, and he was going to the White House to tell them that Donald Trump destroyed presidential records. This is 5 or 6 months after Trump left office. Now, keep in mind the other thing that we just learned. There was some reporting on it that I missed at the time, but this was out of an FBI interview that Judge Cannon just unsealed, too, with another Mar-a-Lago witness, is that the GSA, government GSA General Services Administration, they handled the transition. They had 6 pallets worth of boxes in a Virginia storage facility for 6 months. 2 of those pallets, about 2,000 pounds of boxes, these were all boxes, were transported to Mar-a-Lago in August of 2021. Now, who the hell knows what were in those boxes? Why were they kept there? Why, if NARA was looking for something, why didn't they just go down the street to Arlington, Virginia, and go look in a storage facility? So, and then, Steve, what I found today, I went to the White House visitor log, which is always a good place to go when you want to see who's seeing, who's zooming who. So we saw David Ferriero met with Dana Remus, who is was Joe Biden's chief counsel in the White House, met with her twice in September of 2021. Gary Stern met with Jonathan Sue, the deputy general counsel, at the White House. This is all happening at the White House in August of 2021. And then discovered today, Gary Stern again, the NARA general counsel, at the White House with Richard Sauber, who is Joe Biden's special counsel, top lawyer, with him the day before Jack Smith announces the criminal indictment against Donald Trump for classified documents.
Okay, you can pause it right there. She said a mouthful. From an investigative point of view, my investigative point of view, a case like this would be tossed. The conflicts are numerous. But this reveals who is behind the persecution of President Trump. And again, you don't have to like him. You don't have to want to vote for him. This, we're talking about the status of our republic. By the way, it, again, not a democracy, a republic. We're talking about the status of our republic. We are on life support. Who is doing anything about it? If you cut to 11:55 in this same clip, and by the way, folks, HagmanPI.com, click on the headline. The link will be there for you. You can go to the Conservative Treehouse and read the article as well. Great article. Great explanation as well. And read some of the comments too there at Conservatory House. But the fact of the matter is, there's no one coming to our aid. Like we said yesterday, there is no one coming to our aid.
No, but they can make criminal. First off, you can put it in front of the American people and show exactly what's going on and give support for President Trump and others that will file civil rights violations or cases. There's so much they can do. Look, there's a buried lead here, and I want to make sure everybody understands it. If they feared Republican oversight, if they respected the Republicans that were basically competent or interested in doing their job, they wouldn't have had all these meetings. They would have said, well, hold it. This is going to be eventually, we're going to be outed. That's so let's be even quieter. They're up in your grill for this because they understand the Republicans won't do anything.
That's right.
What do you think? This thing is right up in your face. They don't respect them, and they show they don't respect them by how they do it. And here's why they don't respect them. We are months into this, and Julie Kelly is staying up all night doing this work. It shouldn't be Julie Kelly's responsibility. She's doing it because she's a patriot and she's a citizen. Where in the hell are the people on Capitol Hill whose jobs is, and we're going to start outing. Let me tell you this now. Every one of you scummy staffers that are not doing your job, everybody on Jordan's team, everybody in those committees, everybody on Johnson's team, you people are an abomination. The problem we have is nobody respects you. They understand you're just controlled opposition. When Maria Bartiromo blows up on Jim Jordan, Fox Golden Boy, right? This is outrageous. And the 300-page report, and now what Julie Kelly's doing, show you everything. They were suppressing a report they did. They should have put it out on the eve of the trial in New York City so we could frame what this is about. They didn't. They suppressed it. The question is, why did they suppress it? Why are they leaving Donald Trump out on a limb? And why is it Julie Kelly grinding every night to find out what's going on here? Because the judge is telling you, look at this. She can't go to Congress and say, hey, guys, on top of this, they're supposed to be on top of it, and they're not for a reason. And the reason is they're part of the fix. They want Trump gone, and they can't sit there and tell me, oh, no, we're working so hard. We're doing it. No, you're not. You're liars. For every staffer that doesn't start leaking stuff to us, your name, we're going to make all you guys infamous. This is outrageous what you've done. This is Republic ending. Julie Kelly.
What do I say after that? It's frustrating, and I've only heard from one Republican congressman since I started posting all of this information, just one. I have not heard from staff, certainly the top staff with these high-level committees. But to your point, Steve, that's the frustrating part. They know, and they are preying on the weakness. They are mocking the weakness of Republican leadership by throwing this in our face and knowing that they won't do anything about it. And there just needs to be not more letters, more backdoor transcribed interviews where we're not seeing these people in public be publicly accountable. I don't understand what the hesitancy is for that. David Ferriero is now in the private sector. He left. There's no protection for him as to why he should not be forced to publicly testify along with other officials as to their close collaboration with the Biden White House to entrap Donald Trump and his two co-defendants as well.
Perfect. You can stop it right there. That's exactly where I wanted to end that. But I wanted the reaction by Steve Bannon. He's not wrong. At least he is yelling for once as opposed to me. Where is everyone? It just shows you, I believe this to be the case. It shows you we don't have representation in Congress. We don't have friends in Congress, people who care about our republic. And you want to know something else? What we said really from the start about the economy and how pretty much all of this is connected. If you read the book Blood Money by Peter Schweitzer, you will see connections in every single case that we spoke about in this segment to the CCP, to the Communist Chinese Party, whether it's the pure ideological aspects of things or it's the tactics, you're going to see the connections to the CCP, as well as, for, I'll just toss this out at the very end, Mitch McConnell's wife. Hey, Mitch McConnell's father-in-law is in business with the Communist Chinese Party. He doesn't want to speak out. We've been captured. We have to fight back.